Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good Tuesday morning to you. I hope that you had a productive Monday and that you aren't exhausted. My mom always tells me, coming out of the weekend, she's exhausted. Now, we work completely different hours, mom and I, but she definitely has trouble sleeping the first night of the work week. So it's that time of the year when it's still dark when a lot of you wake up, especially if you're awake right now. It's dark sometimes when I wake up, which is a little odd, but we'll fight through it. And we've got the holidays to look forward to. Thanksgiving, one of my favorite days of the year. Certainly one of my favorite meals of the year. I was practicing some of my baking on Monday to get ready for Thanksgiving. And so I tried pumpkin bread and pumpkin muffins for the first time ever. And boy, did it smell great in my kitchen. I think they turned out okay. So I'm using friends to be guinea pigs so they will try them for me and let me know what they think. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. If you are just showing up now, I wouldn't call you late to the party. I would say you are here at just the right time for a fresh hour. Our Twizzler Tuesday question is thus, how many teams in the offseason should be searching for new quarterbacks? So now that we're through week 11 in the NFL, we've got a pretty healthy sample size. And yes, there is plenty of real estate left. We still have chapters to write about this NFL season. In fact, that's one of the things that Tom Brady said on Monday on Westwood One. We'll let you hear from that a little bit later on this hour. But there are teams out there we already know for sure will be looking for quarterbacks because right now they're in limbo. It's a fun game, not such a great place to be when you are an NFL team. And then I've got a bunch of teams on my list with question marks. Should they be looking for a new quarterback? Maybe, but will they be? It's never too early to contemplate because we're obsessed with QBs in this country. I mean, I guess of all the things to be obsessed over, this one seems relatively healthy. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Chargers are a team on my list with a question mark. As they lose to the Chiefs in Kansas City on Monday night, Monday in Mexico, as they lose to the Chiefs, the fourth quarter really underscores what has been an issue these last couple of weeks. The offense isn't getting the production it wants. Certainly, credit the Kansas City defense. That's great. But these are the games. These are the moments when the Chargers were performing a year ago. And so it's a little bit confusing, actually. With the Chargers trailing by a touchdown, the fourth quarter was a disaster last night. A four and out, meaning one first down and then a three and out on the next drive. An interception that took all of 17 seconds off the clock. That's not great for your defense. Although the Chargers defense hung in there and played well. Finally, the last ditch attempt. Again, the Chargers are trailing 24-17. They've been abysmal in the red zone. They've really struggled. But they've had a long drive, an incredibly deep and theatrical catch by Mike Williams. He's usually good for a few of those. And Phillip Rivers has got his team once again into the red zone, poised with a huge opportunity.
Rivers takes the snap at his belt. Frank Clark coming for him. A fade route right side. It's intercepted! 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 Dirty Dan Sorensen picks it off! One of the biggest interceptions for Dirty Dan's career! And the Chiefs shut the gate on Phillip Rivers! Four interceptions by Rivers!
Mitch Holtis sums it up for you on the Chiefs Radio Network. Four interceptions. Too early. One led directly to a touchdown. So points off turnovers, always killer. In a game you lose by seven, four interceptions, it's a backbreaker. It's painful. And now Rivers has seven interceptions in the last two games. Do you throw out the baby with the bathwater? Well, no. But he's about to be 38 years old. He's a guy that has said he's going to contemplate and kind of think about his career before he decides if he wants to sign another contract. Maybe it's time. Maybe the Chargers are ready to move on, even if Phillip Rivers is not. And a lot of times the ends don't align in the mind of the player versus the mind of the franchise. And it's difficult. But they've got to make some changes. It wasn't a beautiful offensive performance for the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was better in the second half. In fact, Matt Mahomes said he stopped trying to make the big dramatic play downfield. He maybe was hyped up on adrenaline. That's what he said. And instead he was going for the easy stuff, looking for the checkdowns, handing off, allowing his running backs and his playmakers to do what they do best. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So 1 for 4 in the red zone, 4 interceptions by the Chargers. Of course, if you're Andy Reid, you're thrilled with what you saw from your defense.
I was real proud of our defense for the job that they did today. I think Frank Clark probably jumps out at you for the job that he did. He had a heck of a game. 4 takeaways, the guys that intercepted the football and then helped create the turnovers. I'm proud of those guys.
The offense had a couple of really good drives, but also lost Damian Williams to a rib injury. Tyreek Hill really early in the game. It's just pretty amazing the depth and the guys who were able to step up and step in, like Darrell Williams, who bowled his way into the end zone. Also, having a Mecole Hardman who brings similar speed to Tyreek Hill. It's one of those kind of prototypical playmakers that Andy Reid likes for this offense. And then, of course, Travis Kelce, who was nearly 100 yards and had a touchdown.
There's a lot to improve on. That's the biggest thing that we're going to look at after this game is just, you know, where can we seal the deal? Not even put our defense out there on the field at the end and let Daniel Sorensen be a hero himself. Shout out to Danny Dirty Dancing, man. That's my guy. But it's, taking accountability and not even getting it into that situation.
I love that nickname, Dirty Dancing, baby. Or as Mitch Holtis called him, Dirty Dan. The Chiefs' offense may be their weak spot. I mean, they did get a great pass rush against the Chargers. Coach mentioned Frank Clark. Obviously, the interceptions, which weren't all from the secondary. There was one that was tipped and caught. Incredible hands for Derek Nnadi at the line of scrimmage. It was a look what I found, and yet the big man caught it. And did you know someone keeps track of or was able to look up quickly the weight, as in pounds, of the guys who've made interceptions in the NFL this season? Because right away, this nerd alert was offered. He's the second heaviest player with an interception this season. Seriously? It's hysterical that was a stat that they were able to regurgitate in that moment. But you know how much I love the nerd alerts, the nerdy numbers, the next gen. Could we call that a next gen stat? The weight of all the players with sacks and interceptions this year. Now, who's the lightest? The guy who weighs the least. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes So, again, a couple of really good drives. Not great numbers for him. 19 of 32. He was the leading rusher on the team, though, because of some of the injuries I talked about. Had a touchdown, had an interception himself. Most importantly, the Chiefs got the win. And this is a big deal because they've got the Oakland Raiders hot on their heels. And I mean, in hot pursuit. And then looking at the Chargers, it's, again, crazy that this is the same team that won 12 games a year ago and pushed the Chiefs to the limit when it came to the AFC West division title. The Chargers are now 4-7. They've dropped 5 of their last 7. And Philip Rivers is answering questions about, well, what do you do now?
The only way I know is to fight, and you just keep fighting. Sign up for them all, regardless of what your record is. And we've been in this spot before, and you just keep playing. You never know what can happen, but whether that all happens or not, you just keep fighting.
He's right. You don't know what could happen. We had a caller last hour who said the Cleveland Browns are going to finish up 10-6. It is a possibility, just like it's possible that the Chargers could get to double-figure wins as well. Wait, they have, well, yeah, they could, 11-6. Yeah, they could get to the 10. No, they couldn't. No, they can't. Me and my math while I'm talking. My mom, the math teacher, would be so proud. They have played all 11 weeks. Which means they only have 5 games to go. It's much easier when you do it out loud. So they actually cannot get to double-figure wins. The most they could do is 9, and the Chiefs are almost there. And so for the Chargers, disappointing. But does it mean they should be searching for a new quarterback in the offseason? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I've made my list. Some of my teams have question marks. I think in an age where a lot of quarterbacks have mobility, not all of them, but there are a lot of teams out there that have young QBs with mobility. Philip Rivers is not either one of those qualities, not young and not mobile. Of course, neither is Tom Brady, and he's super frustrated with the Patriots offense this year. You'll hear from Brady a little bit later on. Coming up, though, he may be the most mobile quarterback in the NFL, and he is raising expectations for a franchise and reinvigorating a fan base. We'll talk about the Ravens and their 8-2 mark at this point in the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
MVP front runner. If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me. Yep. I'm right here in Beemore outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me. Whoop. I'm about that. Whoop. Big trust. Whoop. 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 Lamar Jackson in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Big trust.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mark Ingram may be my new favorite pitch man in the entire NFL. Oh, so good. And this is what Lamar Jackson has done. Not all by his lonesome, but this is what he has done for the Ravens. He has raised the bar. He has increased the expectations. And he's reinvigorated not just a locker room, but a fan base with the way that he's played and with the start that the Ravens have taken this season, 8-2, of course, the defending AFC North champs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pleased to spend a few minutes in Baltimore with my friend Rob, who also is the co-host of the morning show on 105.7 The Fan. That's our Baltimore affiliate, Rob Long, joining us now. Rob, you sent me a text. I'm going to tell people what it said, okay?
Okay.
Okay. This is earlier when I was talking about Lamar Jackson and winning Monday MVP, and Rob shot me a text because he listens before he does his show. I told you this kid was the truth. What did you know? Why did you know that Lamar Jackson was the truth?
Now, football needs to diversify its portfolio on quarterbacks, first of all. And you know, the old days of just the standing in the pocket quarterback, those aren't gone. There's room for all of them now. That's the thing I love about the NFL. Lamar Jackson's a winner. I saw this kid. You can't name all the guys at Louisville on offense that went to the NFL, yet he was able to win in the ACC, put up good numbers. His accuracy, well, who was he throwing to? These guys aren't in the National Football League. There's something about him. I saw him, a buddy of mine and I went down to Charlottesville, Virginia, to see him play against UVA. And I fell in love with this kid then. I think that was his sophomore year. It may have been as high as the trophy year. He just had the it factor. He looked a lot like, so like when you saw Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech. Guys just have the it factor. You knew that if they were surrounded by the right people, I'm not talking about just the personnel on the field, but the right coaching staff, that you knew they would succeed. And fortunately, Greg Roman, John Harbaugh stepped out of the way, allowed Greg Roman to put the right system around him to be able to succeed.
What is the right system for Lamar Jackson?
Well, it's a run-first offense that includes him when they pass when it's necessary. And I don't mean on all third downs. I mean necessary sometimes is at the beginning of the game, the week before the last week's game, the first play for line of scrimmage was downfield, play. And it was simply because the Cincinnati Bengals had decided to load the box and put eight men in the box, and even the safeties were showed off the line of scrimmage. So the Ravens saw that, so it was necessary to throw the ball there on first down. So that's what they've done. They're able to see what the other defense is doing and be able to play off of that.
And at one point in the second half, Lamar Jackson completed 13 straight passes. There was a lot of talk about whether or not he could be a passing QB or even a quarterback who could keep defenses honest. How have you seen him grow up and progress and grow into this role since he took over as the starter last year?
Work. He's put in the work. I mean, that's the great thing about him. I mean, he's not just one of these guys that, you know, the greats have tremendous talent, but their work ethic matches their talent. And he appears to be that guy. And I hope he doesn't change with that. I hope he continues to put in the work. You know, lots of talk over the offseason about him working with his receivers and being the last guy out of the room in terms of film and all those things. So I think it's just the amount of work that he's put in that's matched the tremendous freakish talent that he has.
Rob Long, co-host of The Morning Show on 105.7. That's our Baltimore affiliate. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So the pregame interview, or I guess it was on the NFL Today, but it was before the Ravens-Texans, was Bill Cowher with John Harbaugh, and they were joking about how having a young quarterback come in when you've been in a place for such a long time kind of gives you this new energy, this new excitement. Coach Harbaugh even said, he makes me feel young. And so as someone who can see the team up close and also knows what's happening with the fan base, how have you seen everything changed now that Lamar Jackson is not just the quarterback, but is taking this team to a different place?
Well, and that's tough to answer because sometimes it seems like you're throwing somebody else under the bus. But the answer to that is, you know, things got a little stale here in Baltimore offensively. You know, I mean, it wasn't exciting. It was 3 yards in a cloud of dust. It was just, it was unimaginative. And I think the fan base, you know, start with everything that was happening, you know, with the protesting on top of the fact that when the product on the field had gotten a little stale, I think the fan base got a little tired of it. And this kid comes in the last year and he goes on this tremendous run down the stretch the last seven games of the season and gets his team into the playoffs, and you're thinking, what next? And then he comes out against Miami, you're thinking, okay, well, that was Miami. When it continues, you know, I mean, you realize, okay, he's the real deal. I mean, this is what you see is what you get. I think there's an excitement. I mean, I remember when Ray Lewis was here in Baltimore, and you would love for Ray Lewis to come out of the tunnel and people would run to their seats just to get a glimpse of Ray doing his squirrel dance. Well, you know, Lamar Jackson doesn't have to dance or anything like that, but people run to their seats hoping to see the first glimpse of the offense on the field because he generates that type of excitement. I don't think you've had a guy, you know, Ray Lewis, Adam Jones in baseball. There are few people who generate excitement just by saying their names, knowing that they're going to give you 100%. Lamar Jackson is that guy.
Now, you and I have had this conversation before, and I still worry about it, that if he takes one real nasty hit when he's out there on his own, he becomes a rusher, that it could be kind of the end of what he's doing. Do you have any of those fears at all, that your face of the franchise is putting himself at risk?
If you name the last 10 quarterbacks that got hurt in the NFL, I guarantee you, if not all of them, but 80% of them got hurt standing in the pocket. This is when the athletes get hurt. Athletes get hurt when you tell them to stop doing what they do naturally and do something else. This is what Lamar Jackson does, naturally. And if you try to, Randall Cunningham once said, you know, if I had followed my own instinct, I would have gotten injured because he listened to the critics and he stopped trying to be a running quarterback per se and be a standing in the pocket passing quarterback, and he got hurt. That's when athletes get hurt. Let it allow. Am I afraid of him? Am I worried about him getting hurt? Yeah, but I was worried about Joe Flacco getting hurt. He didn't run because quarterbacks in the National Football League get hurt, regardless of whether they're standing in the pocket or not. I mean, you look at Houston. Deshaun Watson is a dual threat quarterback, but he didn't get hurt running. He got hurt on a non contact injury. Mm. He tore his ACL. Injuries happen in the National Football League, and I can't go week to week worried about whether Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt. Let him play football. Let him be who he is, and let the rest take care of itself.
What impact has Marcus Peters made on the Ravens' defense?
Oh, my goodness. I never thought a cornerback. They picked up, you know, four and a couple of other linebackers, undrafted linebackers, Josh Bond, and that's helped out solidify the linebacker position. But Marcus Peters, man, I never thought a cornerback would have this much impact on the defense. And I think, in all fairness, getting Jimmy Smith back the week after that helped as well. Mm. But you got Jimmy Smith, Marlon Humphrey, and Peters out there. I don't know if there's a better three cornerbacks on a football team in the National Football League. But Peters is a gambling playmaker, and I think with Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey out there, allows him to gamble and read and jump routes. He did that against Seattle with Russell Wilson. He did it last week in Cincinnati as well. He has been a tremendous upgrade to this defense. You know, you got to give hats off to Eric DaCosta because this defense looked bad, and he was not afraid to make some in-season moves quickly, as well as the defensive coordinator here in Baltimore. You got to give him some credit as well, because they made some in-season adjustments to really fortify this defense.
Right now, Rob, the Ravens are 8-2. The Steelers have fallen back to 5-5. Browns and Bengals behind them. We know what's happening with Steelers and Browns. They got another game coming up in a week and a half. They're potentially losing big pieces respectively. What do you think about the rest of the North Division right now?
I don't think a lot of them. I know if you had to listen to the call and said the Browns are going to go 10-6. I don't see that happen. The Browns beat the Steelers, and the Steelers aren't good. That's it. I mean, what you have with the Steelers at 5-5 is a result of them having one of the best coaches in the NFL. Most other coaches right now with that team would be 3-7. You know, they're going to play. They're going to fight hard. The only other team that would scare me in this division would be the Steelers, and that's because of Mike Tomlin and what he's able to do as a coach. But I just don't – I think this is a down year in the AFC North. I think the Ravens are the class of the AFC North. I think they will continue to run away with the North. You'll get some fight from the Steelers just because they're the Steelers. The Browns, they've got some internal issues that they really need to work out. And they may start at the top with Freddie Kitchen, but they have some other issues.
So then before I let you go, what do you remember about the Ravens-Browns game that happened in the first month of the season?
You know, every year a good team – loses a game, and you think, man, what happened there? Remember last year, it was the Miami Dolphins beating the New England Patriots on that last-minute run back kickoff.
The lateral, yep.
Yeah, I mean, every good team has one of those games where you think, man, what happened here? The Dallas Cowboys, they get to the playoffs, it's going to be the New York Jets.
You know, the Saints have won every year. Last year it was the Bucs. This year it's right. The Falcons.
Right. You know, I mean, everybody, how about that? The Saints not scoring a touchdown with Drew Brees in the lineup. You know, that wasn't Teddy Bridgewater, that was Drew Brees. So like you said, I mean, I think we can look back on the season and you look at that Browns loss and say, well, that was the loss for the Ravens. Where did that come from? I just don't think the Browns this year are in that class. And we'll see what happens in Cleveland. You know, maybe we'll after Cleveland we'll say, well, you know, the Browns just have the Ravens' number. I don't think so. I just think it was one of those losses that you're like, what the heck went on here?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Center's helping into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. the Minnesota Vikings.
First and 10 from Denver's 32. Cousins under center, play action. Bootlegs out to the left. Looking to the left. Firing. Caught. Rudolph. 10-5. Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken the lead.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Garoppolo in the shotgun. Wilson Jr.'s in. He runs inside. He's got a 10-5. Touchdown!
The Atlanta Falcons.
Barner backtracks to the 20. Kenyon 25. Reroutes 30. 35. Barner 45. 50. Has a block on the perimeter. He's only got the punter to beat. Pilardi is cut down and Barner scores. Touchdown Kenyon Barner. And it is 77 yards on the punt return.
The Buffalo Bills.
Allen packs up and goes shotgun here. Singletary off his right shoulder, taking his time now. They go without a huddle, but they're taking their time. Now the snap. Allen pumps once. Now looks right, fires a strike downfield. Caught by John Brown at the 15 into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown, touchdown, Bills, from 40 yards out.
As always, our TD of the week montage is dramatic moments, maybe fantastic finishes. In the case of the Minnesota Vikings, you hear the call of Paul Allen. We're talking about their rally from 20 points down against the Denver Broncos. Or in the case of the San Francisco 49ers, Greg Papa. Also a crucial touchdown there and part of Jimmy Garoppolo's career day as they came back from 16 down against the Cardinals. Wes Durham, punt return for Kenyon Barner, and the Atlanta Falcons have new life. And then John Murphy on the Bills Radio Network. Huge game. Very impressive performance from not just Josh Allen, but also John Brown. And the more that those two can work together, the better they become. Kind of the team that flies under the radar a little bit in the AFC because of the attention paid to the Patriots as well as to the Ravens. But the Bills now have 7 wins, so third most wins in the AFC, along with the Chiefs who joined them last night. Certainly the Bills, the Chiefs, not in the market for a quarterback this offseason, but there will be teams who are searching. It's like a Google search engine. Which teams out there should be looking for quarterbacks come the offseason, in your opinion? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And if you want to weigh in on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, we just put our TD Tuesday poll up. And then on Facebook as well, easily named after the show, easily found. Let's talk to Tony, who's in Eugene, Oregon. What do you think, Tony?
Well, you know, I think as a quarterback, you need to be intelligent. You need to lead by example. And I just don't think Rudolph has that yet with Pitt. I think next year that almost 40, and he's accident prone. So I don't see Rudolph being a franchise quarterback for Pitt. And here's why I say that. And I'm a huge Steelers fan. When he got into that fight, he instigated, and I hate to say that because I love the Pittsburgh Steelers, but right is right, wrong is wrong, and he instigated. He had the chance to back off, and he went back after it, and that's why he got hit with a helmet. So being a quarterback, you have to make wise decisions and lead by example, and he hasn't done that yet, and that's why I think we need a new quarterback, and I'd love to see Justin Herbert in there.
So based on that incident, you do not believe Mason Rudolph can be a franchise QB?
No, because you have to lead by example.
Interesting, because Ben Roethlisberger got a second chance from the Rooney family and from the organization. I think he's made the most of it.
Well, sure, but, Ben Roethlisberger, he wasn't he's not the same caliber as Rudolph, or should I say Rudolph is not the same caliber as Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, no, I got you. But I'm confident that the Steelers are right now not in the market for another QB, unless, of course, Ben decides to retire. They still have their franchise QB. And Mason Rudolph is supposed to be the backup, the guy that can step in. I don't know that they'll hand the reins to him when Roethlisberger does retire. Of course, that I would expect would still be at least another year down the road. It's interesting that you say that. So it's a lot lower ceiling for Rudolph, at least at this point in his career. I'd agree with you on that.
that, do you think that Ben's got another year in him?
Yes.
I mean, you do.
I do, considering that,
that would be great.
Considering that he's barely going to play this season, his physical body will be in much better shape once he's healthy from the shoulder injury. I mean, his body's taking no pounding this season.
Well, that I would love to see that. I really would, because I'm a Steeler fan. But I just think that, you know, for his stature and as many back accidents he's had, injuries, even last year, the guy got beat up last year.
Yep, he gets beat up for sure. I mean, he's that kind of a quarterback. But he's also built like a linebacker. Tony, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 855-212-4227. It's interesting because we could talk about the Patriots. There are some people who believe the Patriots will be in the market for a new quarterback. But it may not be because Tom Brady retires. So there's been all this talk about Brady not having a contract for next year. He says he doesn't know what he's doing next year. I believe him. Also, in case you're wondering, if for what it's worth, he does not believe Rob Gronkowski is coming out of retirement to rejoin the Patriots. So he was a guest with Jim Gray on Westwood One for Monday Night Football, both pregame and halftime. And at halftime, it was a live interview because they were talking over each other at the beginning. And Jim Gray asked him about Gronk's announcement, which is scheduled for just over 3 hours from now on Instagram. And Brady said, I do not believe he's coming back. He's too happy with his business ventures and his broadcasting. He's having such a good time. His body's in good shape. And so he said, I don't actually believe he's coming out of retirement. Again, that's Brady for what it's worth. As for the Patriots offense, the guys they've got on the field right now, Jim asked him a lot about the frustration that is so visible on Brady's face and certainly was this past weekend.
Just part of how our season's gone. So I think there's a lot of things we talk about internally, you know, things that we see that we need to do to continue to try to improve, which I would obviously not say that publicly. I don't want to give our opponents any type of advantage. You know, we're going to have to just execute better than we did and better than we have. Again, like I said, we're 9-1. We're in a decent position. 9 wins doesn't get you anything in this league. And we got a very tough game coming up against Dallas. So we're just going to have to try to do the best we can do. And our defense is playing great. Our special teams unit's playing great. They're keeping us in every game. And offensively, I've said we've got to take advantage when we get opportunities in short fields. And we had a few of those yesterday and really didn't. And those are the ones that probably frustrate me the most.
Tom Brady with the guy he calls Scratchy on the Westwood One radio network talking about his frustration with the offense and the offense that's not performing the way that he wishes that it would and things that they're working on. But as he points out multiple times in the interview and even in that clip right there, 9-1 is still 9-1. And there are a whole boatload of teams in the NFL that would trade places with the Patriots, even as frustrating as the offensive woes have been to Brady. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So the teams on my list that do not have question marks, the Broncos, the Titans, the Dolphins, those are teams that I believe will be in the market for a new quarterback. In fact, some of them are pretty obvious. Cincinnati, there's a question mark there. What if they like what they see with Ryan Finley? And Andy Dalton still has a year left on his contract, so I don't really know about that one. The Chargers, that's one that I think is up in the air, but it's been frustrating, not just for Phillip Rivers, but the offense as well. And he's older, and he doesn't have mobility, and maybe the team is ready to move on. That would be hard to start your brand-new tenure in the new stadium in Englewood with a rookie quarterback. Maybe they go the veteran route. Chicago Bears, not according to Matt Nagy. He still has faith in Mitch Trubisky, and he's telling anyone who asks.
This one's so simple because there's nothing but pure honesty in all this. I mean, it's literally everything that I just told you conversation-wise, every decision that was made, it had zero to do with his play. Zero. It was completely based off of the injury that he had last night and where he's at.
So Matt Nagy still has faith in Mitch. So according to him, they're not going to be in the market for a quarterback. What about the Bucs? Has the hourglass just about run out on Jameis Winston? He's got an interception problem. He always has, going back to his days as a Florida State Seminole. Panthers, well, there's another question mark. Now, David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, who did a wide-ranging interview with local media on Monday, indicated that no decisions will be made about Ron Rivera or the general manager, and that they certainly aren't going to decide on Cam Newton when he's not completely healthy and he's still recovering from the Liz Frank injury. Kyle Allen had been a revelation, but the mistakes are starting to pile up there. Now, Coach Rivera would tell you all the blame does not fall on him, and that's certainly true. But will they be looking for a new quarterback? That's one that I have with a question mark. The Redskins, I feel like they're not going to go and do it again when they just got Dwayne Haskins, though what a mess. However, there is good news with the Redskins stable of quarterbacks, although I don't know that Alex Smith, he is currently a Redskins quarterback, but I think he was just on a 2-year deal when he got traded, although I may have my dates wrong. But if you haven't seen the Instagram video that his wife Liz posted yesterday, it was on the year anniversary of him getting hurt, but it's phenomenal, you guys. It's so inspirational. It goes back to his days in the hospital when he had this massive brace. He was still in a wheelchair, had this massive brace on. Obviously immobile, couldn't move, and it's progressed through these months where he started to do more and more work. He went from the wheelchair to wearing this giant brace, and then he took the brace off, and now it's a smaller, thinner brace, and he's throwing, and he's going through drills. I mean, it's amazing to watch. So I retweeted it if you want to find it on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Again, it's Alex Smith's wife. And the video they put together representing the one-year mark since he suffered that devastating broken leg and all the other injuries. So please check it out because there's a lot of hope and a lot of inspiration there, and it's good to see with Alex. All right, we're back tonight for our hump show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.